I want to take you to Ephesians 4, and I want to show you what church is supposed to be about. This is the heart of church right here. Last week I was on these verses. It's Ephesians 4, and I want to start again in verse 12, but today I'll go back up and catch 11 and show you how it all works out, I hope. So in Ephesians 4, 12, it says that there is an equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. The church is called the body of Christ. We've been talking about it as a family. Today we've got to talk about it more as a true body, a living organism. And then it goes on to say, until we attain the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And then it goes on and talks about how we won't be deceived and these different doctrines won't come in and get us off track. And then in verse 15 it says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And I apologize again, the Apostle Paul likes words, so sometimes he's wordy. But here's what he says. He says that the church is to be equipped. It is to be built up. It is to be strengthened with the words of Christ and the words of God in such a way that we all mature together to look like what? To look like Christ. But we do it corporately, which is this thing that our culture doesn't like. We're an individualistic society. We like to go it on our own. We'd rather do it by ourselves. Quite frankly, it's a lot easier that way, isn't it? Huh? Come on, just be honest. It's easier to just do it all by ourselves. The only problem is you don't fully portray Christ to the world all by yourself. It is in family, this thing called church, it's in family that together, it says that the world will know that I love by the way that you love. It's how we come together as a family that shows Christ to the world. So we fit together. And so the point is, there are these folks who help us get equipped in order that we will mature in Christ. So then we can reflect Christ to the world and everybody gets to minister and play ball. Now I should say this. There's some challenges to this of what I'm getting ready to read next. Because wherever you went to church first, it makes a big impression on what you think church is supposed to be like. Did you know that? The very first place you ever went to church got saved. However that looked, it sort of brands something in you that says this is what church is, the church you grow up in. And so a lot of times people will search all over the place until they get back to what was home and they'll be like, oh, that feels good. That feels familiar, you know? And what we're looking for is this thing called familiar. But I want to challenge you. I don't think what we need is familiar. I think what we need is biblical. And a lot of what we've done is actually extra biblical. It looks a little bit more like a Fortune 500 company than it looks like what we just read. You know, we model ourselves, and I'm going to give you some terms in just a minute, and there are people that get so scared over these terms, but they don't have any qualms about this term, church secretary. Did anybody have this frightening thought when I said church secretary? Huh? Anybody nervous right now? Think we're getting ready to get off track, go into error and all kind of devious ways of the devil because I use the word church secretary? No? Okay. Church secretary ain't in the Bible. See how I can use the vernacular to bring home a point. Church secretary is not there. It's not in Scripture. But we're comfortable with it because it's just kind of what we grew up with. We're comfortable with the word pastor. We'll call anybody that stands behind here pastor, whether he truly fits that category or not. Do I have your attention? All right. Go back up to verse 11. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and pastors and teachers Why? For the equipping of the saints. What it says is this: let there be no confusion. Everybody is supposed to be about the work of evangelism. You know that? That's good news, by the way. It is that you take the good news to anybody who doesn't have it. Everybody's supposed to be moving in that, but not everybody is an equipper in that. Everybody in some ways will pastor. We'll talk about that in a minute. If you're a parent, that's kind of the work of a parent, is this pastoring kind of role. So we're all supposed to be about this work, but there are these equippers. And I don't even know. I put some stuff down and I don't know if I should go into it or not. So give me just a minute and ask the Holy Spirit if I'm supposed to go here. Yeah, we're going to go there. Okay. There's very little written about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Very, very little written. And so what I want to say to you today is this. When we talk about these things, nobody is trying to put you into a box. Can everybody hear that? Nobody's trying to put you into a particular color or a particular ministry gift. You see what I have here? Everybody see that? Those are crayons. And I got all kind of colors in here. And what I want to say is that's really the reflection of the church. All of these are really different. And you're very different. And what we're not trying to do is make you look like somebody or put a title on you or any of those kind of things. What we want to do is to unleash what God has already done in you. What we want to do is tell you that no one else expresses Jesus Christ like you do. Do you hear me? So you can't not do your job. You hear me? You can't not be you. You can't try to be somebody else, because guess what? You can't. You weren't meant to be me. You'll be really glad you weren't. You weren't meant to be like somebody on TV that looks cool, somebody that's got a lot of something, whatever it is that you think you might want. There is something unique that God wants to do in your life. And God gives, in fact, it says Jesus gives these gifts to the church in order that we can all be what God made us to be. Now, these folks are equippers. So if you aspire to this, and I hope that some of you will, because many of you have been doing ministry for a long time. Am I talking to you now? Those of you, you've been in church a long time. You hear me? I got everybody's attention? Okay. Could it be that in this moment in the life of the church, God is asking you to take a step up? That He's saying, come on up a little higher. And rather than just do ministry, will you help to equip others to do ministry as well? Did you hear me? I want to speak to somebody about that. That you've been doing ministry a long time. You've been operating in your gifts a long time. And I want to challenge you that maybe this is the season that you're supposed to step in and to begin to equip. It's not a title. We don't give those out around here. You hear me? You know why? Because as soon as you do, somebody will go print up a business card. And there'll be Apostle Kevin or Prophet Kevin or whatever. And I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. Maybe I did. I don't know. Lord, I'm sorry. It is not about a title. It's about washing feet. You hear that? You want to know who the equippers are? They're the ones that are going around and washing feet. If you're volunteering for this job, that's what we'll be doing. We'll be going around to the church and we'll be looking for where there's dirty feet. And we'll be the ones that'll grab, say, I need a basin and I need a towel and I need some water because my heart is to wash feet. I've told you what I believe my calling is here. I am chief foot washer. That's my job. And if you want to move in this move of God, that's what I believe these equippers are called to do. They're called to wash feet, not have titles. And then out of that, you begin to take responsibility for something. There are a lot of people, they want authority in the world. Did you know that? There are a lot of people that want to move up in the spiritual realm, in the business realm. I'll give you the key to moving up. You ready? That's true too. Take responsibility for something. You want to move up in authority? Take responsibility for something. You know what makes a parent? When they take responsibility for their kids. Otherwise, it's just a title. When you take responsibility for something, then people will begin to turn to you. When you start taking responsibility for your kids will begin to look to you and say, man, my mom and dad, they got my best interest at heart. A neighbor down the street, another relative, whatever it is. When you begin to take responsibility, people begin to say, I actually think they care about me. And I don't know about you, but when I find somebody that cares about me, man, I want to move with them. I want to be around people that love me and are willing to invest in my life. And so there's a responsibility and there's a measure to things too, okay? Can I say that I believe that our authority as Ember right now is the people who walk through these doors, and I actually believe that it is the city of Chester, and it may move out. I don't think we have authority to go anywhere else in South Carolina and minister in these gifts yet. Okay? There's an area of authority. In fact, the other day I was eating breakfast down in Richburg, and I realized very careful that there's a structure down there just like there is everywhere. And Kevin doesn't have any authority down there. Now, he might in the future, but he doesn't right now. So there's a place where you have authority. You know when you get out of trouble? When you start meddling in somebody else's business. Huh? Right? Think about the times you've gotten in trouble. It's when you thought you could parent better than some other parents. It's when you thought that you could instruct somebody at work in how to do their job. You see, everywhere it talks about the gifts in Scripture, it says that there's a measure that's given to everybody. That Greek word is metron. It means you've got an area and you should stay in it until it gets broader. If you don't, you'll get in trouble. And if you look at what people get in trouble, it's when they start trying to mind other people's business and tell other people how to do their stuff. So we should all just sit back for a minute and say, I'm going to mind my business. And I'm going to be good there. That's where I've got authority to operate. And then in doing that, let's look at these gifts. And I'm going to start with the evangelist. And Thomas Kearns, I'm sure glad you walked in the room, brother, because I thought you were supposed to be here today. And I kept looking around going, he's not here, Lord. He's not here. I'm like, he's supposed to be here. In fact, I need you to look over there, and Thomas and Miss Joyce, if you'll stand up for just a minute, okay? Because I need them to see you for just a minute. This is Thomas and Joyce Kearns, okay? Everybody see them? Tell them, hey. All right. I can tell you that Thomas knows where his lane is. In fact, he told me the other day, he said, I know my lane. Yeah, I know what God's called me to. And this man has a heart for evangelism. Now, what does evangelism mean? It means to carry good tidings, to carry good news to a lost and a dying world. That person that's an evangelist, their heart burns for lost people. You may wake up every morning and you don't really care if the world is dying and going to hell or not. That actually can be the case. But I can tell you that Thomas cares. He cares about people who are lost and don't know Jesus. And most of what he does in life is to move out into these places. I was invited to visit Thomas one day over in Brooklyn. And the person that called me said, I want you to go. Thomas is over in Brooklyn. I said, okay. He said, he's over next to a crack dealer's house, a drug dealer's house, and he put his tent up over there just so everybody around could hear about Jesus. So he just goes places. Wherever there's violence, that's where Thomas goes and puts his tent up. Why? Because he wants to bring good tidings to people who need good tidings. And we need that in the church. It's that forward edge of ministry. Now, does Thomas need to walk around with the... And actually, people call him pastor all the time, which is kind of funny, you know? But I believe when most people draw on his life... They draw on his life as this man that brings good news. Now, why is that important? When he does the work of evangelism, now here's something that's possible. Thomas can now move into this time, and I pray that you will, my brother, where he can help us have a heart for the lost. Because if we're not careful, we'll forget about the lost. There, because of our gift makeups, not everybody has that kind of heart. And there'll be days and there'll be weeks that'll go by and we won't be praying for our lost loved ones because we got other things going on. But it's that person that has that heart of evangelism that says, don't forget that there is a lost world out there that has not yet been changed. Let's go get them. And then he'll grab up some people. And I'm praying he's going to take some people with us and he's going to help us begin to walk in those gifts. And so I say that because if you have a heart for lost people, I think you ought to snuggle up close to him for a little bit and his wife. And maybe say, if you're going somewhere soon, take me with you. I want to go. You see, the way these gifts works is you got to move in them. I'm going to say that again. Are you ready? You got to move in them. If I sit here at the end of the day and y'all go, that sounds pretty good. I can agree with that. I don't need your agreement. I don't even want it. Because it's worth nothing. We got to move. This is the time and the season of the church. I believe it always was. But we got to move. And so snuggle up close to someone like him. Then the pastors. And anybody who stands behind this gets called that, pastor. But here is what a pastor is. It comes from this word called shepherd. And it's that shepherding heart. And it's a person who wants to draw people in. It's the person that says, how you doing? How's your day been? How's your family? Is there anything I can do for you? And they take the people who are coming in from our evangelism efforts and they begin to pull them into a family. Because if you're saved and you're not part of the family, God's not done with you yet. He wants to put you in His family. And the pastors are the ones that pull those in. There are probably a lot of pastors in this room because I believe that many pastors are needed in every local assembly to take care of people. Because I don't know if you've noticed or not, but as people, we got a lot of stuff that goes on. You notice that? There's a lot of issues. And so it requires a lot of pastors. And that you say, but that doesn't fit my paradigm, Kevin. The pastor is the guy that sits behind the pulpit and he preaches and he leads churches. And I would say, maybe. That might be a pastor behind there. But what it could be is a church leader that everybody is calling pastor. I'm going to get to that in a minute. That might have confused you, okay? So there's pastors. I want to introduce you to a few of those. Leanne Lucas took some kids over next door to pour her life into them because she's a pastor. And she's pastoring our kids. And she loves them. Boy, she'll cry over them in a heartbeat. And she wants to know that they're okay and that they're being taken care of. And she will personally step up and she will do it. Her husband, Jeff, is a pastor to adults. He has had people in his house for probably the last, 5, 6 years probably? The people who have that pastor's heart, their home's open. There's always a bunch of people congregating. Sometimes it's kids. There's always just a bunch of kids over at your house. It's just people are welcome. Audrey Bryan's in the back. And Audrey has this unique thing that Audrey is pastoring foster care parents and she's pastoring the employees of the Department of Social Services and all of the different ministries that are around that. She goes over there and she says, is there anything you need? Is there anything we can do as a church to help you? And she brings some like-minded people with her. And she pastors those folks at DSS and in the foster care. And so that ministry it's outside. Bob, that I showed you just a minute ago, who's going to be directing I-58. Man, he's got a pastor's heart, among other things, that he just cares about people being healthy and well. And so what you should do is just, if you want to see if you have a heart like that, snuggle up to one of them. Say, can I just talk to you? Can we just talk about this thing? Now, let's get back to everybody behind this thing being called a pastor. Everybody's called one. Not everybody is. Some people stand behind this and they're an evangelist at heart. Their churches usually explode. I mean, they are constantly growing and every message is about reaching lost people. Have you ever heard? You ever been those places? You know, it's every message is reach the lost. You know? But a lot of times what happens is those folks never, they never get grown up in the Lord. And so what you'll hear sometimes is people will come in under a ministry like that, and then see if you've ever heard this. I just don't feel like I'm connecting with anybody. Have you ever heard that? I just don't feel like I'm connecting. I got saved there, but I don't feel like I'm connecting. And then they'll go somewhere else, and they'll go where they find a connection, where they feel like they're loved and where they're wanted. You know what that is? That's a true pastor right there. They found somebody who loves them and pulls them in. Now, at some point, that same person might say, I just don't feel like I'm being fed down there. You ever heard that? I just don't feel like I'm being fed. And that person will leave and they'll go to another place, and they may call that person a pastor, but that person's actually a teacher. That person loves the Word of God, and they're always in the Word of God. In fact, if you want to know who the teachers are, they're always looking for, are we thinking right? You know, is our mind in agreement with Scripture? And if not, what they want to do is they don't want to put their arm around you. They want to get their Bible out and point to a Scripture and say, let's do this. Miss Joyce is a teacher. If you listen to her talk, the Word of God is incredibly important to her. There's a guy named Barron that's been coming now for probably the last year. And Barron is always talking about this. He says, Kevin, our minds have got to be renewed on the Word of God. And if we will renew our minds on the Word of God, then God will change us and He'll set our minds free, because, Kevin, the truth, what? Sets us free. Now, the problem is, a lot of times we don't have all the gifts operating at the same time. And here's what I believe God is doing here at Ember. Is He's saying we need all the gifts. We need all the gifts functioning together. And so I would say that I am delighted to get to work with Thomas. Now, here's the thing about evangelists too. You got to give them space. You got to give them room. Because if God tells them to go somewhere, they got to go. Okay? But I'm delighted that we would have the opportunity, because we need our hearts to burn for the lost. But we need the pastors too to gather up people and say, you belong here. How can I help you and your family to grow in the Lord? And we need the teachers to say, don't get too far from the Word. If we get too far from the Word, we're going to get off track. This is what God says. Let's renew our minds on the Word. Do you see where I'm going with this? I hope. I pray. Now then, what about those other gifts, those prophets? Oh, Jesus. The church is finally beginning to accept the prophets back. We didn't like them, and just like Israel, we tried to kill them. The prophets have always had a tough go of things. We've always tried to kill the prophets because we didn't like what they had to say. They'll walk up and say, you know that thing you're doing over there? God is not in it. And you'll be like, excuse me, we've been doing that for 30 years. He said, I don't care how long you've been doing it. God moved. You should too. Do you see why nobody likes the prophet? I love talking about him because I need them, you know. They have a passion for things like the gifts. And they'll look at a church and they want the power of God manifested in the church. And if it's not, they'll say, what's wrong with us? Why are we not moving in the power of God? Why are we not seeing people healed? Why are we not seeing people delivered? This is what we need to do. And everybody looks at them and goes, they are not safe people to be around. Can I have my pastor? Where's my pastor? Because that guy or that woman, they scare me, you know? They have vision for the church as to we should be doing this and now. They speak these inspired words of God. There's three that I want to mention today that I think are pretty important. One is Pat Buehrig is sitting over here. And Pat, over the years, a lot of years now, I don't know how long, Pat will come to me and she'll say, the Lord told me something that I need to give to you. And I'm like, oh, it's time to stop and listen. Because Pat is tuned in to the moves of God. And so I'm always listening for what Pat is saying. And then Chris Bender at the back. is that he'll have these things. He's like, I believe God is saying this about this time. I believe that God is saying we need to move here. We need to look at this. God's doing this. And then a guy who's walked for me a long time too, Chris Gaddy, and y'all know we love to pick at each other a little bit. And I've noticed over the years, because we've been ministering together for a long time, is that I may have a really good idea, but I don't always know the timing of that good idea. I don't know if that makes sense. You ever, God giving you something and you want to go do it right then, but you wasn't supposed to do it right then? Yeah, sometimes I know what God's told me to do and I'm ready to go, and Chris goes, it's not time. I'm like, would you be quiet? Good gracious. I'm like, you always throwing out an anchor. You know, I'm like, we got to move. And he's like, no. You know, this house thing, you know, I was like, man, we need to build houses. And Chris said, I don't know if the time's right. And I'm like, man, we need to build houses, and nothing worked. And then one day Chris come up and he says, Kevin, you know what? I think we ought to build houses. Okay, so now we can build houses, you know? But here's what I know, is that he has this sense of the timing of God and things that God's going to do. Years ago, he said this thing. He said, one day we'll be over at DSS and we'll be able to have these packages of clothes. And there'll be boys' clothes and girls' clothes, and there'll be winter clothes and summer clothes, and they'll be done by size. And all you'll have to do is go in and pick those off the shelf. And I'm sitting there going, that sounds like an administrative nightmare to me. I'm like, we ain't moving in that direction. So one day, Audrey, who is pastoring DSS, says, hey, we're going to have a lunch over at DSS. I'd like for you to come if you can. I said, sure. And I come, and Audrey says, so everybody, I just want to let you know, we've been packaging clothes by boy and girl, summer and winter, by size, and all you have to do is go over and pick up whatever you need. And I'm sitting there going, oh, he did it again. There'll be no living with him. But these folks have a sense for the timing of God that other people don't. They sense when things are dead and everybody else still thinks they're alive, you know? And so we need them, and the church is welcoming them back to the body. And then these things of apostles, I still don't think we accept them yet, but somehow these apostles, they come in. And here's the thing, it's called a sent one, which I think is kind of odd because we were sent, right? Ember was sent to start this ministry and to build something new. Apostles were sent to start a new work. And then part of it is they want to see all the gifts operate. They want to see the teachers doing their thing and the prophets doing their thing and the evangelists doing their thing. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. And I believe that God has begun to call and raise people up in that kind of ministry. And then at some point you've got to learn to keep peace among all of those competing values. Amen? And so here I believe is how you do it. And I told you the secret earlier. It's about foot washing. It's not about who can be in control. And that's why we won't necessarily say evangelist Currents or pastor Audrey or prophet Chris. We'll talk about it in terms of a verb. Because if you ain't doing it, then you ain't one of them. Right? It's about a verb. It's about doing these things. Now, I've established all of that to try to say how I think this thing might work in Ember. So, I want to paint a picture for you, a vision maybe of where we're going. Imagine if we started moving into smaller gatherings that met whenever, because you can have flexibility. You can meet whenever you want to. You can meet wherever you want to. If we started meeting in the homes of people who had pastoring hearts. And you say, well, I don't know if I have one. Are people welcome at your home? Will you receive them in? Will you love people? And will you be concerned about what's going on in their lives? If so, then why not? We'll put some of these folks with you. Bob's already said he would go and help to establish these things. So we may not have that group yet. That 20 or 30-year-old group, by the way, we'll help you. I promise. If you're ready, we'll help you. Yeah. But you assemble these folks around these pastors, and we love each other and we take care of each other. And then all of a sudden, just to stir things up just a little bit, we bring in Thomas Currence and his wife Joyce, and we say, don't let them forget that there's a lost and a dying world out there, and take them somewhere so that we can practice this thing and actually do the work of evangelism. I had somebody come in one time and say, Kevin, I want to come in and teach your people on evangelism. I said, when's the last time you saved anybody? I did. They said, well, it's been a long time. I said, well, thank you, but no thanks. I want somebody that's doing the work. You know, if I'm going to bring a teacher in, you should know the word. You know, if you're a pastor, you should love people. If you're an evangelist, you should have saved somebody. You know, but we bring Thomas Currence and Joyce in and say, stir them up, set our hearts on fire for the lost. And they begin to move around through the groups and sharing that part of their ministry and equipping people in evangelism and helping us to be that way. And then you bring in the teachers and you say, what are these things that we need to set our minds free so that we're established in the Word of God, so that we don't get off track? And we begin to send them around. And then we send in the prophets just to cause trouble. And they stir up the gifts. And they look at us and say, you could be more. You know, there are sometimes they look at you and say, you could be doing more. God's calling you to more. Come on, let's go. And we send them around and they stir us up. Then you get this beautiful picture of the body of Christ. You know? Because if you're not careful, here's what will happen. Is if you got a teacher leading that group, every week's a Bible study. Right? And some of those people may not have been in the group in about 6 weeks and nobody's ever called to see why they're not there. Why? Because that pastor gift is not operating. Are you following me? I know this is structural more so than anything else, but it's important, you know? And if you've got a pastoring group, sometimes you can just kind of migrate down to, well, how's everybody's week been? And the teacher goes crazy because they're like, the reason everybody keeps meeting week after week talking about how bad their week is because we won't turn to the Word of God. Do you see where I'm going? And so a group can get kind of fixed into one particular gift and it's not fully equipped. So what I'm saying is the picture of these groups is to establish people among pastors, move these folks that are willing to equip folks in the gifts around. And I believe there's a wave that we can ride. You don't have to force it, and we're not going to. You hear me that? We're not going to force anything, but I believe that that's what God is doing. Most of the people that I've mentioned, it blows me away of how they got here. The only thing I can say is God brought them. You know? The only thing I can say is God brought them here for this time. Now for our youth. How are we doing on time? Okay. Y'all bear with me. Those of you who are visiting, please come back. I'm doing chiropractic work today. Our youth. I think one of the real dangers that everybody notices in our youth is that when they go off to college, they also seem to leave their church and their relationship with God, and sometimes they never look back. They walk away from God and they never come back. And that seems to be happening at more and more of an alarming pace. And I believe that one of the reasons for that is many of our youth only know one or two people in the church, and that's their youth minister and a handful of faithful volunteers. So when they leave the church, they don't have anybody to come back to because they only built a relationship with one or two people. Now, we've had some amazing folks, so now I got to call them. Kara's right here. Stand up for me, Kara. And Natalie's over here. Stand up for me. And Jeff's in the back. Stand up for me, Jeff. All right, now y'all look around. They have been pastoring our kids. I think you should have clapped for them. Yeah. And this is about getting help. Because you know when I said that everybody has a measure of responsibility, guess what? If you have a child, they're your responsibility. They're also this church's responsibility. And I believe we'll be stronger if we do it together. So now let me paint one more picture. of young people. You ever notice how young people will congregate at places? They'll congregate wherever there's a home that they're welcome in and a refrigerator that's got food in it. Come on, let's just be honest. That's about what you need. You know, and you can have a bunch of people over at your house. You know, it's just a cool place to hang out. Most of those places, those folks there, those believers there, have this pastoring thing going on where they can pull kids in. So what I want to do is say, if there are kids that are already hanging out at your house, can we not take that and turn that into something spiritual? You know, can we not turn that into a group of young people who now don't get served ministry on a platter? Because that's not how you grow, by the way. Do you realize that? That's why a lot of people don't grow by coming on Sunday mornings. It's because it's just being served on a platter. You will have to take it and do something with it. Take responsibility if you want to grow. And a lot of times what we do for kids is we just hand things on a platter. Here's what I want to do. I think our kids are amazing. I don't think there's any junior Holy Spirit. I believe they can be accountable for their own spiritual growth with the help of some adults to walk alongside of them. So I think we gather these kids that are already wanting to gather together, and we let them, and we say, bring your friends in, because it's going to be cool. They're going to stay at Kelly's house anyway, and she's going to feed them, so it's no sweat off our back, you know? Yeah. Or they're going to stay over at Natalie's house, you know? And they'll just gather up, and they'll begin to meet. And then the same thing, you bring those gifts around, and you say, do you guys want to learn how to hear God speak? Then we're going to send Pat, because we clearly know this woman can hear God speak. And she can help other people too, because she's proven that she can equip people to do the same. So we send her and say, help them learn how to hear God. Send another person through. Help them learn how to study the Word of God and understand how alive that thing is, that it is not a dead book, but it is alive, and it's a sword. And we bring some other folks in, and we begin to bring those gifts in. And then some of you thinking that you've been able to get out of this. Well, he wasn't talking to me. Well, guess what? Yes, I was. So I've been calling names. I guess I'll go ahead and call a few more. Just imagine some of you guys that like to hunt and fish. What if you shared that gift with some of our kids? You know? One of the major pieces of this coming together for me was I was watching down at the river with some kids that like to hang out together. And I watched you, Scott Gerbers. And I watched him playing with those kids, and I'm like, he's a lot of fun. You know, the kids like playing with him, and he's competitive, and you know, and he's good at sports, and I'm like, they like being around him. I'm like, how cool would it be if him and some of these other guys that like to fish and like to play ball got these kids together and said, hey, whoever wants to go fishing this weekend, we're gonna take you fishing, and we're gonna spend some time with you. And then all these different folks that coach ball in all these different ways, Gerald and Scotty, and I'm probably missing people in the room, Chris, and different ones that coach and that play baseball, Jeff Lucas, and girls softball. And we said, all of you that love sports, what if we got you together and you took the kids and you played ball with them, you taught them a little bit more about soccer? Gerald's like a semi-pro soccer player. That's a good thing, you know? Who wouldn't want to go spend a little time with him and learn how to play soccer, you know? And then one day I was talking about that to my wife, Brantley, and she said, well, I don't play sports, but, man, I'd go take some girls to the movies in a heartbeat. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool, you know? What if you got a group of people and they just want to go and they want to watch a movie? Brant said, I'd take them in a heartbeat. And so then all of a sudden, we start pulling in these different gifts from the body of Christ, and our young people start to actually know the people that are in the church with them that are adults. And then when you come to church on Sunday morning, they're not these nameless, faceless kids, but that's Matthew, and that's Zach, and that's whoever. And you know them, and they have a relationship. And so I believe that we're in this season where everybody gets to play ball. Everybody gets to contribute in some way. Now, do we have all the details worked out? No, because sometimes my gift doesn't work out all the details anymore. But there are people who can. And I believe that we have enough to get started. So here's what I want to do. I've done all the chiropractic work I can do for this morning. I'm hoping I'm presenting a vision for this thing. I'm going to release you. I want to pray over you. I'm going to release you. Pat and Chris, I've already talked to them. If you need ministry, if you need prayer, if you need anything, they're going to step outside and you can just walk into the cafe and talk to them. If you are parents of a child that's in high school, middle school, even late elementary, I want you to stay put for just a minute, okay? Will you guys do that if you have children? And then we have something too. If there's something in your heart that says, I don't have kids, my kids are grown, but you may be willing to be a mentor, that you may be willing to spend some time with somebody that maybe doesn't have a father, that maybe doesn't have family, maybe he's living with a grandmother and she's struggling to do everything, then I'd like for you to stay too. If you think you could maybe pour into somebody as a mentor, then I want you to stay in the room too. Is that clear? So I'm going to pray. We're going to dismiss. If you can be a mentor thinking about it, you stay. And if you're a parent, stay just a little bit longer. Let's pray. Father, that seemed a little weird to me, like building a building more than preaching a message. But Lord, I believe that the pieces are in place here. You have brought people in from all over this country to do this thing that you're doing in this season, in this community. And so, Father, I want to say thank you, because there's a lot of people that don't think that you exist in this community. But I'm excited, God, for what you're doing. I'm excited for what you have placed in the people here. And I know it's more than here. It's gonna go out from here. I think this may be just a feeding place, a sending place at some point. It'll be too big to just keep here. But Father, we wanna stay in our lane. We wanna operate where we believe you've given us authority. And so, Lord, I pray you stir up the gifts in people right now. I pray you stir their hearts, that they realize that there is something that they were made to breathe for a reason, and that it is good, and it's part of this thing that you're doing, and that we'll just keep pressing in. Father, if there's anything that we're doing that's not quite right, you straighten us out. Lord, if we're on the right track, give us boldness. Lord, I pray that you would just, again, just stir people's hearts up for more. Let them realize that there's a new normal and that we're going to walk in it. I pray it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Remember, if you can think you can mentor, if you're a parent, I'd love for you to hang around just a few more minutes.